Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Yes, you're holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
I trust that you are been enjoying this morning. Brother John, you did an excellent job. Wonderful job. And we enjoyed as well this what Brother Wade had to bring. Amen. We just enjoy the word. Amen. It's all about the word. It's not about the one bringing it. It's about the word. And so you did an excellent job there, Brother John. And we've certainly been enjoying that series. Amen. Praise God. Because I tell you what, you know, finances and your physical life, you might think, well, nobody knows what I'm doing at home, and so it doesn't affect me, doesn't affect my family. Oh, it affects your spiritual life. It affects your soul, what you do or don't do with physical things in your home. Amen. So it's very important. I'm glad Brother John's touching on that. I've really been enjoying it. Amen. Praise God. Also, we just thank God for last night. Thank you, Brother Dale, Sister Peggy, and all the ones that worked very hard. We certainly enjoyed it, and enjoyed some good food last night. It was wonderful. I tell you what, you know, they said eat all you want, so I did. I had 2 pieces of chicken, 2 pieces of steak, 2 desserts. Because there's still room in there. Yeah. You know? Maybe if I get to like Brother Aaron, maybe there might not be enough room there. but there's still some room there, so I just went ahead and took advantage. But we certainly thank you all for all your hard work. And we had a good time last night. And there was one more thing I wanted to announce before we get started. The song special sheets for this month, as well as for next month, they are posted in the recording room back there where Brother Joe and them are at, right there on the wall, right on the little wooden thing there, on the right in the entrance, as well as on the refrigerator downstairs. So look to see when you're going to sing, when you have a special. Those who have said that they wanted to sing specials, look for your name. Plan accordingly, okay? Amen. Brother Wade, I put one in there as well. There's 2 in there as well. So... So we're going to go ahead and get started, and let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we get started, and then we're going to turn to Matthew 28. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to open back the pages of your word. Lord, we ask, Father, that you would just, Lord, intervene in our midst, Father God, and Lord, just speak to our hearts, Father God. Lord, here in this little second part of the presentation, I pray, Lord, that you would just... Lord, use it, Father God, to speak somebody's heart and Lord, maybe Lord, help them to see something. Maybe they might get a revelation to go themselves somewhere, Father God. Lord Jesus, you know, Father God, maybe some young person here, Lord Jesus, Father, maybe that's what you have them to do later on in life. We don't know, but you know, Lord God. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd have your way this afternoon. Lord, may you just continue to touch those that are sick amongst us. Continue, Lord Jesus, to have, Father God, touching those that are not with us, Lord God. So many needs and sick ones amongst us, Father. But, Lord God, you're the God of all these needs, Lord Jesus. You knew these needs before the foundation of the world, Father. And we know that you're more than able and you're just as much healer as you was, Father God, when you died on the cross of Calvary, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you and we appreciate you. And when we commit the service into your hands now in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I felt led to read this scripture, very familiar scripture to us. And it's entitled in the Bible as the Great Commission in verse 16. And Jesus says some things here. He says in verse 16 that says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." So all power at this point was given to him. He had raised from the dead. Amen. So he had conquered death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. And so he said, all power is given unto him. Amen. And if he has all power, then what is he? He's God. Amen. And when you have him in you, then what do you have? All power. I believe that. Amen. Praise God. And this is one of the things that I was trying to get across to the people while we were down there in Honduras, Nicaragua. There were several times where I used this scripture to talk to them about water baptism and the Holy Spirit. And when you show them that all power was given to him, it's like, wow, yes, and he's in me. Wow, I got all power. If you could just come to that realization that all power, amen, praise God. And then he says this with all power. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Amen. In Mark 16, he says, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel." Amen. But it's teaching, preaching. Amen. Amen. Even when you're preaching, you're still teaching. Because you're enlightening, amen, the people's eyes. Amen. Even an evangelist, it's a form of teaching. Amen. Amen. Because then what's the next step to do? To repent and stuff? But I didn't know until the evangelist came through or to the teacher. Amen. Preach the word, you see? So we need the fivefold ministry. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Not in the name of the Father, not in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. No, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things. Amen. Whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, teaching them to observe the word that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And I wanted to read this quote. If the brothers can pull this quote up. Amen. Brother Branham says here, brother, if you want to turn on the purple mic, please. Thank you. I couldn't get the praise. Amen. Amen. I couldn't get the little head thing here. Maybe next time. But he says here in the end time, the message, the end time, 1954, "But I am so happy to be here." Brother Moore was just telling me that they had taken up an offering for missionary work to be given over to me for missionary work. I thank you. May God bless you. And that's what I say to each and every one of you. I say to the church, that offering that the church gave and the different times that you all gave has really, really helped. And so we just thank God. Amen. It helped them. I just don't know how to say it. It's just something about missionary. And I believe he was going to say missionary work. Missionary that I know that what missionary, that I just love it. And I just know that what you're doing God's will when you give to missions. That is right. It's not fair that one person hear the gospel twice when somebody hasn't heard it once. See? Everybody should hear the gospel at least once. And I want to do my part to try to take the gospel to everybody that I know how. Every place. Used to on the difference of the remunerations of the meeting and what I'd had left over, I'd give it to the charity organizations and so forth. Now I have nothing at all against them, not at all. And I think they're all fine, every one of them, from the Salvation Army and the Volunteers of America, the Red Cross, polio drives, and many of those things. It's good to give to those things. But I thought the people that comes to my meeting are people who are usually poor people, and they're interested in the kingdom of God. While common run off people that doesn't go to church, businessmen and so forth, writes checks for them drives and so forth for thousands and thousands of dollars, while a poor missionary suffers with a lack. After all, we know that we like to see everybody well. We like to see people that's hungry be fed. But you know, the soul is the most important thing of anything in the mortal. Amen? Because that's the thing that lasts forever. And you know, when I believe that every Christian is obligated to be a missionary, I believe every Christian is obligated. Now, not so much as you have to go over in the old countries and preach or something, but if you can't go, you can help send somebody else. You see, what you do to send somebody else, and did you ever think what Jesus said about when the disciples asked him when he would return again? Why, he said, show us the sign that when he would return, he said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Let me ask you this, are we hearing that? All right. You'll hear of fathers against mothers and mothers and parents against children and so forth. Do we hear that? I mean, you can look in the news and you can see some terrible, terrible incidents. But that's not yet, he says. He said there'll be time when they'd be all different and the morals, you know, how they are now today, they'd marry and given in marriage and so forth. It's not yet. But he said when this gospel is preached to all the world, then he'd return. Amen. And where we have done, Christian friends, we've failed miserably. Is that right? Amen. Now that was in 1953, I believe it was. And ever since then, the gospel has definitely advanced. Amen. This message has gone across, the world, and it's in such a huge way through printing, through, and now it's more advanced now. It's going faster because of the advent of the internet. So it gets spread much faster and faster. So I believe we're at the end time, saints. I believe we're at the end time. And so if we think in our minds, well, it doesn't matter what's going on in the country such and such, or I'm not too concerned about what's going such and such. Amen. Those people need the gospel too. people need to hear the gospel. And there's people that I came across that they hadn't even been to church. So if you can at least say something to get them motivated to start coming to church, you know, hey, it was worth spending a plane ticket to go there, you know. So I just thank you all. Amen. Appreciate each and every one of you. I felt led to read that because it's you that did it. Amen. And through your prayers, you're the ones that did it. All right. Here we go, part two, brother Anderson. He's the one working back there. All right, so we're gonna turn off the lights here again. What's so funny? Oh, brother, the Anderson did it remotely. All right, so last time we stopped. We were in Olancho. This is the Olancho in Honduras. And so now we're still there because a lot took place there. So that's just wanted to give you a point where we're at next. All right. So here, after we had come from the mountains, remember the trip we had gone to the mountains? We went to Brother Eli's church and, he had asked me if I could help him with a wedding, a couple that was getting married. This couple, they were just coming to the Lord. And so, next. This is the couple right here. And, This is Brother Eli. He's right now the one in charge of this church right now. He's not the pastor right now. They're praying for a pastor. But his call is missionary, and he's an evangelist. But so we were helping. I was helping him marry this couple, and this couple right there at the altar, they accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So not only did they get married to each other, but they added a third person in there, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Later on, the next day, I got the privilege to baptize both of them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Next. sideways. So right here, we're praying the sinner's prayer with them. Amen. And they came to the Lord Jesus. There we go right there. Next. All right, and here we are with them. this is Sister Suwani and Brother... Gosh, I forget. I'm so terrible with names. I was looking at my wife to see if I can get that help. Huh? Moises? No, it's not Moises. I know that. Next. All right, this is after the wedding. This is some food afterwards. Next. All right. And after we had married the wedding there, we went to a brother's house there, and he asked us to go there to see if we could pray for his home. Apparently, there's been some paranormal activity in his home, and he wanted prayer for his house. So we gave them prayer cloths and told them to put it in corners of his house. Me and Brother Eli, who was there as well, we prayed for his home. That there's been some different situations that they were talking about. Next. So here, I'm just telling them, this is the brother's house right here. This is his wife. And, he's got, three children. Next. All right. So we prayed for them. And I told them one of the things, and this applies to you all as well, you know, a wonderful thing to do is to just have the prophet playing in the background. Have scripture playing in the background the whole time, you know, because that wards off demons. I believe that. Amen. The word of God, amen, wards off demons. You know, not the tape or not, but it's the word of God. I encourage them to do that, you know, in their home. So this is the church again the following day. And so I knew that we were going to have some baptisms that day. So I felt led that day, that morning to teach them about water baptism and just go in depth with it. Because they hear water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they know it's in the Word. But when you actually give them the scriptures, give them quotes, and just really dig into it, it helps solidify that even more. You see, next. All right, and right before we had service. This is the church. This is Brother Elise Church, and they're getting ready to build onto the church right here. So he was showing me the little parcel. Where they started the work right here. They have some funds that were donated to them, from one of the churches up in Ohio. And so they're going to get that going. Some of the funds that you all gave went to help and pay, some of those brothers that are going to be working on that church. They're going to be working all week, 2 weeks in a row. And they're going to be leaving their own job in order to work on the church. So they're not going to be getting paid, to feed, you know, help feed their family just because they're dedicating their whole time to the church. So some of those funds went to help them and to help him in that. So next. All right. And this is the beginning of the service. As I said, a lot of them, they usually have a custom to go to the altar and just pray before they get started. Which I think that's wonderful. And so as you, as the parent does, you know, your children follow as well. Next. All right. This is if the brothers, I don't know if there's, this is a little at the song service. You see, the church has grown a lot, and it's very small. So that's why they're going to add on to it. This is the sister that we married yet the day before, Sister Suwani. Okay, next. All right, and this is me coming out. All right, next. Yes, you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next. All right, so this is after the service. This is when we were walking to the river.
Go to the waters.
I don't know if you want to turn that up.
Here are some of the brethren behind us. I believe there's one or two people that are going to get baptized. It could be four. But I'm not totally sure. Careful, Beth.
Christine was walking in front of me. So originally, yeah, I thought that there was going to be about two, three people that were going to get baptized. But then as we were baptizing, more were coming. More kept coming. They wanted to get baptized or rebaptized. So it was a total of seven people that we baptized. Next. Yeah, this would be second week. Mm-hmm. Next. All right, and the first sister we baptized is the sister. She was up from the mountains where we were at, and she got baptized. I think she's like 13, 14 years old. Next. Then this brother came, and he wanted to get baptized as well. Next. Then that sister Suwani, the sister that got married the day before, and so she wanted to get baptized. And so we baptized her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next. And then little Marquitos, his name is Marcos, and he wanted to get baptized. And so, hey, come in. Next. And then this is Sister Suwani's husband, and he wanted to get baptized as well. So we went ahead and baptized them. They have to get where we were at. They had to get on their knees, some of the taller ones. And then I dip them that way because it was not a lot of water there. Next. All right. And then this brother Roberto, he came and wanted to get baptized as well. Actually, he wanted to get rebaptized and kind of rededicate his life to the Lord. Next. All right, this young brother as well, he wanted to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them have already accepted the Lord Jesus, but they just wanted to go ahead and get baptized. Next. And this is Brother Roberto right here. If you want to turn it up a little bit. He's come here to get rebaptized, and he wanted to put his stake down so that Satan can see that this is it. And so I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Okay. Next. All right. And this is this little young brother getting baptized. As you're baptizing, sometimes they kept playing and I would tell them sometimes I would tell them to stop, but they're like, no, you go ahead. We'll just keep playing. They stopped there. His name is Brother Kevin. Amen. Next. All right. This is afterwards. They're at the river. Next. All right. And so we had a final prayer with some of the brethren, and I gave them a final word in regards to how to continue. Because I explained to them sometimes we kind of get an idea, and the Lord can do that. He can give you the Holy Ghost right there at that water. But sometimes it's a fight, you know. It's a continual, amen. It's being born again. The Bible says, and I told him, listen, the way you get the Holy Ghost is by receiving His Word. As you listen to the Word, as you go to church and you listen to the Word and you read the Word and you study the Word, amen. You are receiving His Spirit, amen. Because His words are Spirit and truth, amen. He said, my words are spirit and truth. So I was trying to explain that to them, to tell them, listen, you didn't have to feel anything. You don't have to feel anything when you went down to the water. Now it's the battle. Now it's a fight for you to continue on. Amen. As you're feeding on the word, you're receiving that word. Amen. And so we had a final prayer with them there, and I encouraged them in that way. Next. All right. So that evening, we went and visited another brother's church, brother Neftali, in about an hour away in Catacamas. And this is his little church there. Next. Actually, it's not a small church. It's a big church. Next. This is some of them singing the special. This is brother that got baptized that morning. Him as well. All right. That's the pastor, brother Neftali. Next. This is me preaching to them, and I was bringing them that little thought from at this moment about James chapter 4. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Amen. It's not you drawing nigh unto God, and God's just there waiting for you. No, as you're doing your part, He's doing His. And so that's what I was trying to bring across to them. So as you're nearing God, as you're drawing nigh unto Him, amen, God is drawing, also drawing nigh unto you as well. Amen. And you might say, well, you all may have heard me saying that here, but to them, that's important. And the reason why is because to them, they think that it's all about works. What I can do to please God. But they don't understand that God, there's a part that He wants to do. But when you do your part, He does His. You see? So it's just a thing that just trying to get them out of that mindset. He's the one that does it for us. Amen. We just get into it. Amen. And ride. as Brother Brandon would talk about that vision that he, I'm riding on it. Amen. He's the one who's in control. Amen. Praise God. Next. All right. And afterwards, we had, prayer, and they're praying for the people next. All right. And we took on this trip about 22 Bibles. They were donated from Brother Barry Coffee there in Hickory, North Carolina. And, this is one of the sisters receiving a Bible. She didn't have a Bible. So we gave her a Bible. Next. This is a young sister who had a Bible, but it was a Bible that the translation or the interpretation into Spanish wasn't good. And so we went ahead and, gave her a new Bible. And, next. All right, so now after all that hard day's work, we get some leisure time, and of course the dogs are looking at you. There's dogs everywhere there, so when you eat, this is what you got. Dogs there just looking at you. Of course, you got beans, right? Beans and rice. We got plenty of that over there. But actually, we ate so much of it, it actually starts hurting you really bad. Next. All right. So the following day we took a break, and then we went back to Talanga, where Brother Eric's house was. We rested that Monday, and then on Tuesday, Brother Eric and some other brothers, we went up they were going to have a ministers meeting about 3 hours away from Talanga, and this is a ministers meeting the day it started. This is all ministers and pastors from around the country in Honduras, just meeting in one place. And they usually do this bi-monthly. They just have meetings together and just fellowship together. And they don't really talk about doctrines and things like that. They just kind of have fellowship to keep that going. You see, like we have fellowship meetings here. So that's good that they do that. Next. And then at nights in those fellowship meetings, they have a tent, this tent was donated here from brethren in the United States. And so, in that tent, anybody can go to those meetings. And so, they're more evangelistic-like. So that's when they started. It's about 4-day meeting. Next. Okay, so they asked me to speak on one of the nights. I believe it was on that week, on that Wednesday night. And I got to preach to about 500 people there. And so there was a lot of people there the last night. I would say about 600 or so people there. And, really wonderful time we had. Next. Next. This is right after I had preached. I had preached on blind Bartimaeus and just talked about faith. And just trying to get their faith and have faith in God. And then this is us worshiping afterwards. Now, as I said, you know, they have that custom where sisters sit on one side, brothers sit on the other side. So that's why you see it like that. All right, next. Okay, so this time I'm going to ask my wife to come up, and I'm going to ask Zoe to come up as well. So you don't have to hear my boring voice for a little bit. I want her to explain what's going on here because I wasn't there. While we were at the ministers' meeting, 3 hours away, my wife was back in Talanga, Honduras, and they used the funds they were given here to buy food for people. So I want her to explain about that.
So that was pretty much the trip. He would be with us for a day or so, and then he'd be out again. So the girls and I and Sister Rebecca, she's a pastor's wife right there. This is her mother-in-law, and this is her mom. And we had started talking about, because I know that people had given money and wanted to give some food, also some clothes. And after asking around, I was finding out that people would actually sell their clothes for food. So we just went ahead and got the food.
Amen.
So this is around week 2, week 3. We initially had budgeted for 16 bags, 16 families. But towards the end, it ended up being 20 bags. It wasn't going to be for the whole church because the budget wouldn't. I mean, we could have done it, but then we couldn't come back. So the pastor's wife, she knew the people, so she had decided, she made the list of the people who needed it most. So she was in charge of that. It cost, in total, it went to about $400 to $450. And Rebecca and I went around town, and we kind of negotiated with the store, the people that sold in bulk, and, you know, I kind of had to say, you know, if you give us a deal, you might just do this again in a bigger scale. So, but, so that's why we were able to get it down to that price. So it's pretty much the staples. You'll see that we had the stuff I'm trying to think of, but it was beans. We got at least 80 to 100 pounds of beans. And we've got the rice, the flour, we've got pasta, like you see them right there, there's the rice, sugar, salt, and their pasta sauces, coffee, we got them that. Also, we got the laundry detergent for them, dish soap, powdered milk, we got cooking oil, their butter as well, and even toilet paper, which is, you know, you need food, but it was nice to give them toilet paper. But depending on the size of the family, the bag, I don't know if there is, are there more slides?
Yeah, there's more slides. Just hit next.
Could we get some more slides? Because we packed them up in bags. Next. So it was, and we put a little bow later on.
Next.
And depending on the size of the family, it would have lasted them about two weeks to a month.
Amen.
So it's just, you know, it's just the staples, but it went a long way. And the testimony that goes with that, this was just something that we wanted to do. So Sister Rebecca, that Friday night, they have Friday night meetings. The girls and I decided to stay back because we weren't feeling too well. After the service, they came back and they called me. I was upstairs and Sister Rebecca told me that a sister wanted to come and talk to me. And she didn't tell the whole church that there were these donations. She just told specific people. And one of she told the couple sisters to, you can either come tonight or tomorrow. It's up to you. Like, she was just telling them discreetly. But that night, right after service, she wanted to come. And so I just thought she wanted to say thank you. So, you know, that was great. But she came and told me, actually, that she was praying that day for God to give her some food because they didn't have any food the next day. So that was the Lord's answering her prayer. So should I go ahead and... Oh, there's more pictures. Next. So that's how they came. They got pretty heavy. But this much was pretty much dispersed in about three churches. So the plan was just for one church. But it just so happened that we were able to bring a few in this church and a few in the other churches. Can I go ahead and give my testimony? So this is just pausing. I wanted to, going back to week two in Honduras where we had the baptism, you guys saw a little bit of the terrain that we had to go through to get to the water. And then after the baptism, we were walking back. I said I wasn't going to cry. So we were walking back. The people were ahead of me. Luis was back there helping, because there were a lot of people. There were some elderly that came, so he was helping them. The terrain was really bad. You had to really look at what you were walking on. So I was just walking, and I took a bad step, and it was deeper than I thought. No one was with me. No one knew what happened. And all I knew was my left foot popped. And my vision went white, and I felt pain shoot up my head. And the thought that came to my mind was, Lord, I need my left foot. We still have 5 more weeks here. I can't be debilitated. I need my foot. So I just said, thank you, Lord, for healing me. And I kept walking. It hurt. But each step I said, thank you, Lord, for healing me. And I just kept walking and I kept saying, thank you, Lord, for healing me because I need my foot. I said, I didn't come to Honduras to lay in the bed for the next 5 weeks. So it was still quite a bit of a walk and I was just by myself, just kept saying, and it took about 10 more minutes just walking. But by the time we got to where the cars were, I sat inside the car. Luis knew nothing. The girls didn't know anything. But by then, my foot was fine. I didn't say anything to anyone. And it was just that evening when Luis found out about it. But I didn't know that I would need that situation. About 2 weeks later, when we got to Honduras, the first Sunday, where it was too hot, it was very, very hot. We were exhausted, we crossed the border by foot into Nicaragua. We crossed the border by foot, it felt like we were a family that wanted a new life with new names, with our luggage. But we crossed by foot in the sun. But anyway, that Sunday, we were exhausted. And it was absolutely hot inside the church. Luis was preaching. Again, he didn't know anything about it. And I felt what they later told me, I had a heat stroke. I got up. I was going to go to the bathroom to just kind of cool off. But by the time I got there, they said I was sitting on the floor. And the pastor's wife got me, and they took me to the office where they had air conditioning. And all I can remember was Luis preaching. And they said I was mumbling. But in my mind, I was hearing myself saying, Lord, you healed my left foot just 2 weeks ago. I need that same healing now. Because I still have 2 more weeks here. And I remember just saying that in my head. I thought I was saying it out loud, but they said I was just mumbling. They said my lips turned green and my lips turned white. But after a while, I just felt sweat, and then I was okay after that. But I remember thinking, that's why I had to have that happen with my left foot, to feel that healing. Amen. When you didn't have anyone there. Amen. And there's no doctor to help you. But it brought me back to that time where I said, Lord, you healed my foot when I asked you. So I need to be okay, because look, my husband's preaching. Amen. And I need to be fine. So here we are.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you remember the questions? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm gonna get my phone here real quick. So Zoe, we have some questions for you. And all right. So Zoe, what was the hardest experience for you?
When I was about to faint.
When you were about to faint?
Yeah, somewhere. It was too hot.
Was it Honduras or Nicaragua?
Nicaragua.
It's very hot in the country of Nicaragua. That's where my wife was talking about. And so it can get down to, you know, it can get to like, you know, 100, 105 degrees every day. Every day is like that, you know. All right. What was your best experience?
Knowing that I walked up a mountain all the way to the top.
Knowing that you walked up the mountain all the way to the top. How long did it take to walk up that mountain?
4 hours.
4 hours. And she did it. All right. When did you have the most fun?
Playing with like some professional musicians.
When you were playing with professional musicians, she said. Which there's a lot of brethren there who are just very talented, a lot of gifts, and she got to play with a lot of them. Alright, what do you miss the most? Or what did you miss the most while you were down there?
Two things. A keyboard that actually had keys that actually worked, and high-speed Wi-Fi.
I think that was what Bella missed, too. And after coming back home, what are you most thankful for?
Knowing that people over there, they have harder lives. And I should be thankful that I don't have a hard life like them.
We're all thankful for that. Amen. Well, thank you very much. We asked her if she wanted to answer some questions, so that was impromptu for her, so thank God for that. Amen. Moving right along. So we just thank God for this, and you all were part of this. Thank you, Lord. Next. All right. Here's some of the sisters that are receiving some of this food. Next. All right. So this back where I was at, this is the last night of the meeting under the tent. And Brother Miguel Rubio, who was there preaching, he's an evangelist. You can see a lot more people here tonight. And a thunderstorm just came right through. And it was raining pretty much almost the whole service. And water was coming inside the tent. And everybody, but what it did is there was a lot of people gathered outside of the tent as well. And what it did is it gathered people to go inside. And we all just kind of huddled together. This was it got worse later. Next. So this is that same night next. So, but that didn't stop from people wanting to get prayer. I mean, this right down here was flooded. And just people worshiping the Lord. There was just a big puddle of water there in the front, and people were just sticking their feet in there. I had to as well. And just worshiping the Lord and wanting prayer some of them, giving them their lives to the Lord right there. And so you can see it's still raining in the background, but sometimes that rain and the thunder, so Lord blessed them. Amen. Cause they didn't care about that. I just wanted more closer walk with the Lord next. I don't know. All right. So that was, there after that, the meetings there, the ministers meetings, we went to Brother Paco's house. This is his home here. We spent the night that night there. And Brother Paco, he is full-time missionary there in Honduras. He used to live here in the United States for a while, and he went to Brother Homer Longoria's church for a while, so he knows Brother Homer. He's one of the interpreters in Honduras because he speaks English and Spanish. And so when a lot of the brethren go down there, he interprets for them. So he's a very instrumental brother there. Here's Brother Robert. He's a pastor there in Honduras. Brother Eric, and then this is Brother Eli as well. Brother Robert is Brother Eric's father-in-law. Next. All right. So that night I preached at Brother Eliseo's church, which is about an hour away from Brother Paco's house where we were at. And so we ministered there that night. Next. This is his church here. Next. And this is a view from the platform. Next. That's Brother Eliseo. All right. So that was that day. The following day we came back home, and it was kind of like a resting day. We went to this place called Cantarranas. It's kind of like a ranch farm type place there, but there was a family member of Brother Eric's who's a pastor there in Honduras who was having his birthday. He's an older brother, and so they wanted to celebrate his birthday up there, and so we went there with them. Next. This is just some of the area next. All right, Brother Eric, Sister Rebecca, my wife and I. Next. All right. So I say that you know, sometimes some of you all see me and Brother Bob doing this number. Yeah. Well, Brother Eric is like my Honduran Brother Bob. We're always just laughing and cutting up, but it's in Spanish. So that evening we're at a restaurant there just having a good time, laughing, cutting up. Next. All right, that was that same evening. Next. All right, and then that was that same evening there in a little town, a little park there that they had. Next. All right, and then the following day, which was a Sunday, that was on a Saturday, the following day, that brother that was having his birthday that we were celebrating there on Saturday, he wanted me to preach at his church. Now, he has the biggest church in all Honduras, and his brother Melchizedek. But the brother is very old, you know, he's an older brother now, so he's kind of slowing down now. He's not preaching as much, and so some other brothers are stepping up. And so this is us preaching there the following day next. And so I preached to them that morning about the image of God, the image of God in you. And I can't hear what I was saying there, so next. All right. Now, that was Sunday, and then the following Monday, the next day, that's when we were going to go up to this place. It was about the place that Zoe was talking about. It was about 4 hours away walking, called Majada Verde. And we were just going to deliver some food to that, to those places, some of those bags, as well as visit a brother there that I was mentioning to you all last Sunday who never had anybody visit them before, not anybody from the States. And so we were going to visit that church next. We left out that morning. And then that's us.
There's the food bags right here on the, right behind them.
There's Brother Eric, and there's Brother Esteban. Brother Esteban, and there's some more pictures of him. Brother Esteban, he's about 21, 22 years old, and he was one of the ones, he actually last year, 2 years ago, was on, he was on one of those caravans of people coming in from Central America, and he just wanted to take the opportunity to come, and so he tried to come, but when they got to around they went through Guatemala, and they got to Mexico, and when they got to the border of Mexico and the United States, he just gave himself in because he couldn't take it anymore. He walked all that way from Honduras, and that was like, I think it was 15 days that he walked just to get, you know, to the States. So he was one of those that, and he told me all about it. And I mean, the good thing is that he had age on his side. He's 22 years old. He was pretty young, but, next. All right. So now we got to a point there in the Majada Verde where we couldn't take the truck up anymore, that white truck. So we had to start walking. And this is where the 3 hour trek was. That's me blowing my nose because, I mean, my allergies just really kicked in. Next. All right. And this right here on the left is Brother Esteban, the brother. Now, he's walking with flip-flops on. And he walked the whole way with flip-flops. I hope he didn't walk to Mexico that way either, but next. And it was hot, but the views are beautiful. Now this is the truck trying to make it. What the truck would do, this is like a 1982 little Toyota. And what the truck would do is would go down. I threw something in the truck, and what they would try to do is try to get some speed, you know, so to make it, you know, to make it further. And next. So it finally got to a point where it couldn't go no more. They would put rocks behind the tires to kind of hold it in and try to get, you know, to get it so that when we push, hopefully, you know, it would get it up. Next. You turn it up a little bit. So, this was us for about maybe 45 minutes. And sometimes we'd get it up a little bit further. And then he'd roll it, they'd roll it back down to try to start over again to, you know, to try to get a little push, you know, an impulse to go up, and then
it's back to level one.
Next. So finally there was a brother who had a motorcycle, and this is the food that we were carrying, the bags of food. So we told them, you know, they were heavy. So that's what we were hoping, we could get the truck up there. Yeah, because we still had about another 2 hours. And so the brother said, well, let's just put the food on the motorcycle. So, he got it on the motorcycle, but that thing was so wobbly, he about fell. And so, I don't know if I got video of that. Next. So some of us, what we did, and this is Brother Esteban, you can see here by his flip-flops here. And so, yeah, that bag was heavy, but he was carrying it, carried it the whole way. And so what a brother did is he got on that motorcycle, another brother, and he was able to ride it up, you know, and was able to get the food to the people. So thank God for that. But there was that one point where he almost went back, and I thought that, seriously, I have a video of it, not here, but I really thought that he was going to fall off the side of that mountain, because that motorcycle was going back like this, and by the grace of God, nothing happened, and the food was saved as well. Next. All right, so this is the church. We finally got to the church. This is the pastor there. And this brother, as I said, this is Brother Rodolfo. Brother Rodolfo has been pastoring this church since 1974. He does everything there at the church, and he doesn't have anybody really to help him, and doesn't have a lot of visitors to guest ministers or anything like that. One of the things that I wanted to mention is that his church is really worn out. And it's cracking. The foundations are really cracking. And so he asked for prayer about that, and he also asked if monetarily if we could help so that he could fix his church with the cracks. And I have some pictures and things of that. Next. This is up there in one of the areas when we were up there, and we just went on to the side and took his picture of this little gorge. Usually there's a waterfall right here, and there's a river down there. Believe it or not, they told me, the brethren, that the people have jumped off there and committed suicide. So it's very easy for you to fall off, and a lot of people know that, and people that don't have the Lord, you know, or, you know, they just want to end their life. Two or three people have committed suicide there. That's what they told me. Next. All right, this is Brother Rodolfo's church. We went to his house to eat first, and then we went, that's after a 4-hour walk, then I had to preach, so we all had service there. And you can see in his church right there, this is where the church is cracking. And so he's tried to fix, you know, right here you can see in the corners, he's tried to fix what they could, you know, there's a lot of foundation problems. And so, they said that, I'm at this very moment, I told them to please get an estimate of how much things will cost. And, so we'll see. Because there is still some money left over from what you all gave, and maybe we can send that to them. Next. This is us having service there. Some of these people, they're just mountain people, you know, just all they know is farming, ranching. Next. All right, and we spoke to them that afternoon about when Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Next. Alright, afterwards we prayed for the people. Some of them came up and asked for prayers. The brother, the pastor right there. Just a simple brother, you know. Next. Alright, and that's Bella and Zoe. Zoe's sleeping there on the floor during the service after a 4-hour walk. Next. So us praying for the people there. Next. All right, and then afterwards, a brother went and grabbed the bags of food, and we went ahead and gave them some of the food there to some of those families there. Next. Now, this is just some of the video of some of the church there, so you can just kind of get an idea of what's going on with the church. It's sideways. This is an entrance, one of the side entrances there. It's just a very old building. Next. This is the right there around the pulpit area. So I don't know how much that will cost to fix, but they know how to work with that. All they need is just, they need funds to buy the materials to. Next. This is the walls. And it's sideways as well, the video, but you can get an idea there. Next. Okay. It's us giving them more food. Next. All right, and this is the pastor, Brother Rodolfo. Just right before we were leaving. Let's see what time we got here. I'm so sorry. 3:26. Okay, we're still good. All right. Next. All right, so as we were leaving, we got back on the truck. There was another brother that went up there and met us. He had a better truck. And so it got around much easier. And Zoe was entertaining him with something. He was talking about a bug bite. Oh, yeah, bug bites on her arms. And they were just intently listening to her. Next. And this is some of the video as we were going down the mountain. A lot of all that we trekked up walking is nice riding down now. And this is just a very common thing, you know, they all just get on that back of the trucks and just tightly and hang on. All right, next. Okay. All right. Now, the following day, I preached at another church nearby. This is Brother Lucas Cardona's church. And his church originally is under this platform, but they're building on top of it. And so they're going to use that bottom part for something else. So that's why it's kind of open, because they're still not complete. They're still not finished. Next. And just wanted to give a quick testimony. As I was finishing ministering there that evening, a drunk man walks in into the service, and he sits there and starts listening. Of course, the deacons, they got, you know, make sure he wasn't going to do anything, you know. Afterwards, I went over to him and I stood next to him, and he said, "I really enjoyed the sermon." He said, "I really enjoyed what you had to say." And so I told him thank you, and I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "Please, that's why I came for." And so I prayed for him there. And so hopefully, you know, we'll see where that led, but we just thank God, you know, somebody just randomly walking in this church wanting help, you know. What else would you walk into the church? His life has come to a point now where I can't take this anymore. And he smelled bad and everything, but we pray for him, you know. So, next. This is during song service there that day, that same service. Next.
¿Dónde estuviera usted? Posiblemente en un hospital por ahí.
You'd be, if it wasn't for God, maybe you'd be in a hospital or in a wheelchair, or maybe even dead under the ground if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God. That's what I was telling. Next. All right. So the following day, this is the following day, we went to go and visit another church. And
crossing the river.
And it's about 2 hours away. And so this is us crossing this river to Agua Blanca. All right, next. All right, and then some of the brothers were following us in that same little white truck. And, I mean, they did so much to that truck on that trek. He was having problems with his radiator. I think that's the radiator, right? And so they were carrying water, you know, to fill it up with water. But eventually there was damage there that had to be fixed a different way. Next. And this is the church. This is actually the church, the church that Brother Eric was pastoring before. That I believe we helped here in this church build this church here, and they're still gathering there. They need a pastor, but Brother Eric was led to go to where he's pastoring now, because that group really needed his help. So they have somebody in charge right now of the church, but they're praying for a pastor. Next. And they're still adding buildings, adding some things to the church there. Next. This is inside. Next. And it was us holding service there that afternoon. This was on Christmas Eve, by the way. This was on the 24th. Yeah, they're thinking about going to church on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. To them, Christmas isn't that big, you know. They don't really celebrate Christmas, you know. So to them, it's just about going to church. So we had service Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Next, Sister Maria, came up for prayer after the service. Next. This is us praying. I preached to them about the one thing that matters the most. What is that one thing? Next. All right. Now this is the next day. This is Brother Eric, the church where Brother Eric is pastoring now, where they voted him as pastor. Where the pastor of this church, for some reasons, he left the church. And so, since Brother Eric lives only two blocks from this church, he felt that that's where the Lord was calling him to. They needed his help, so he's pastoring there at this church now. Next. All right, this is the sister that we were praying for back in Agua Blanca. She's very special. Her name is Sister Maria. So, next. And this is we took them some bags of food as well there. And so this is an older sister. They're receiving one of the bags of food. Next. All right. I don't know if you can see right here. I don't know if you recognize these people. I don't know if they can zoom in or not. Anyways, that's Brother Anderson and his family. Sister Anna and Brother Anderson, they wanted to give this gift box to this sister. And this sister's about 94 years old. And she was looking at their picture of how they've grown. Next. And so she really appreciated the gift, Sister Anna. I'm not sure, but we gave her the funds. Next. All right, so this is Christmas Day. They're preaching at Brother Eric's church. Next. Next. All right. Next. Okay, so we left the service there at the church very late, and there was no restaurants open or nothing that we could get something quick to eat. So there was only a gas station open, and this is some of the things we had to eat there that night. Bunch of junk food. Next. We were able to get some nachos from the gas station, and back at Brother Eric's house, they had some leftover chicken. Because we were just so busy. As you can see, this is one day after another, services, and so even some of the sisters, you know, they didn't even have time to cook and things like that, because everything was concentrated on planning on what was going to happen in the church, going here, so. But thank God for the nachos and Pepsi. Yeah. Next. All right, and this is, you can turn it up, brother. Just give you an idea of what Christmas Day is like over there.
As soon as the clock strikes 12 on the 25th, Fireworks everywhere.
It's like Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve. To them, it's about shooting fireworks, the people, you know, and so it's just a loud, you cannot sleep that night. You hardly get any sleep that night. It almost looks like when, to me, it looks like that scene when we went to the Gulf War. When they were shooting the rockets, that's what it looked like to me.
Looks like one of those scenes from the Gulf War back in 1991 in Iraq.
Next.
Where they were shooting.
All right, this is Bella and Zoe that same night. As the fireworks were going off, Bella was playing Christmas music on her violin. Next. This is outside. Feliz Navidad. Yeah, so you can see Zoe's not always quiet. It's because she had to eat all that junk food too. That's part of it. You could get an idea of the streets at night there. This is in Talanga, Honduras. Next. All right. So this is here because how much time we got? All right, give me about 10 more minutes and we'll be done. Not done with the trip, but just done with this section. All right, so from Talanga, Honduras, that following day after on the 26th, December 26th, we rode down to right down here, which is Choluteca. And it's closer to the coast there, and it's very hot there. Very hot. Next. This is us heading there. It's about a 5-hour drive. And I was just chilling in the back. I didn't want to sit the brothers were like, come on to the front, you know? I said, no, I want to stretch my legs out now, you know? So I'd sit in the back there with the girls. Next. All right, we got to our destination, and it's it's up in the mountains there. There's some mountains that go through there. But this is a brother Josue Quiroz, brother Carlos Quiroz's house. He's a pastor there. This is Bella. She's playing with this brother. He's a brother Alexis, a brother talented brother with the piano. Next. Bella did a good job just really playing and blending in with the people there as far as with the instruments and everything. She got to learn their music really well. Next. All right, and they had a little parrot there as well. This one you'd tell it hola and he would say hola, you know, and other things. What else would he say? He would say Costa Rica. And so the parrot was there 2 years ago when we were there, and it's still there hanging in the same tree. Next. All right, so this is Brother Carlos Quiroz's church. That Sunday we traveled, that Saturday, that Sunday we preached there, and this is a brand new building that they just built. Next. Brother Carlos Quiroz, he has a son who lives in Florida. He lives in Jacksonville, Florida. And so with the help of his son, they helped build this building. Brother Carlos Quiroz, he's a precious brother. Wonderful brother. Next. This is song service. That one. Brother Eric was leading songs because they asked him if he could lead songs Next. All right, this is me preaching.
Y el que nos da a nosotros el Espíritu Santo, hermanos y hermanas, eso nos lo va a hacer recordar a usted y a otra persona.
All right, next. And afterwards, we have prayer. Next. All right, and then I preached there that morning, and then that afternoon around 3 o'clock p.m., we drove about another hour, 20 minutes or so, to another church. We were supposed to have service around 5 o'clock p.m. that afternoon. And this area is called El Triunfo. It's just the name of the area, and that's the church. You can see it from far off. We thought that was just a pretty picture of the church surrounded there. Next. This is the pastor there, and he's an older brother now. And he's not meant preaching anymore because he's blind. I forgot what it was, but he's blind now, and he can't really minister. He's up in age now, and so some other brothers are taking the reins right now for now. But he's still considered the pastor. So you see a lot there. Some older brothers, you know, they just can't do it anymore. So, but this is a. Brother is wonderful, though. Next. And this is the church that afternoon service. Next. Next. You have to take that word and say that word is mine. It's for me. It's personal. It's personal to me. I know that I make mistakes, but I know that he said in his word, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me for my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You have a door is open for you. There's no need for you to stay there and you're wallowing in your sin. Pretty much what I was telling him. You know, I was just praying and then the Lord really helped me because, I mean, I was struggling with my health, you know, as far as I was getting colds and things like that constantly, and I had preached that morning, and I was just asking, Lord, help me, because I'm here to do a job, and God help me, amen. Next, and that's the next day, after that long, that was, my wife took that picture of us. Next. All right, and this is in another area there in Choluteca. Bella playing with some of the kids there. This is now sort of, this is another video. I'm not sure what happened there. This is some of the little girls there. Next. And then we were there drinking some coconut water. And if you've never had fresh coconut water, it's good. It's good. Next. All right, this brother right here, and I'm so terrible with names. I'll remember faces all day long. But the brother, he's an evangelist, and he's been evangelizing for many years. But I believe he told me that he's baptized over 300-something people during his lifetime. And so I just thought that was amazing, you know, just him, and he's still evangelizing. He still goes around preaching the word of God through Honduras, still baptizing people, adding to that number. Yes, he fell off a motorcycle recently before that. And it was a terrible accident. The one that he was riding in the back and the one that was driving the motorcycle, he got hurt. But he hit his head. Luckily, he had a helmet. But still, it was still kind of bothering him. So you remember the brother in prayer. It's nothing but the devil trying to hinder. And they were going to actually go to preach the gospel when the accident happened. So next. All right. Okay. We're going to stop right there. And what I'll do, saints, is Wednesday. I can continue. And we'll just do what we can. And then I'll just fast speed through everything else. And just get to the cut to the chase, I guess you could say, to Nicaragua. We'll go to Nicaragua and Costa Rica in about you know, maybe 10 minutes. Because this is all still in Honduras. See? Because we were there the longest. So, all right. We'll stop it right there because we have communion. So, amen. Brother Wade, you want to come?
Amen. Let's give him another hand.
Thank you all for your patience. Thank you for your for your patience. Yeah, for your patience. Appreciate you all.
I know. All right, let's stand to our feet. Let's sing I Love Him as they get ready for the communion. It's ready, right, Bethany? Okay. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it like this. He heals me. He heals me because He first loved me, and by His stripes I'm healed completely now. I'm free. Amen. Thank God that we can have a brother, a young brothers that can go and do these things. Amen. And be able to, as Brother Dan Daisley always said, and now Brother Joe Green says, if you can't go, send somebody. So that's what we do. We send somebody. And thank God for Brother Luis that he can. I'm glad he came from Columbia, but I'm glad he didn't stay in Columbia. That ain't South Carolina either. They talk funny over there too, but no offense. But in the country of Colombia, he got over here and learned how to speak English. You didn't know how to speak English when you got over here, did you? You learned English here. Wow, well, that's great. But he does a good job. God's anointed him to do a job. Amen. God's anointed him to do a job, and I believe he's done a good job. And we continue to support anybody that wants to go and do any kind of mission work. We sure appreciate it. So let's read in the scripture in 1 Corinthians. If you want to read along, that's fine. If you don't, I'll read it here in chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. See, that testator had to die. There's a New Testament coming in. The Old Testament was under bulls and goats. The New Testament, which there, the testator had to die, but he's writing a New Testament in his blood, that it was going to take blood to wash away our sins, not to cover it. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. In my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Amen. Prophet of God said you need to be born again, living the life of Christ before you can take communion. All right? Because if you do take it unworthily, listen to what happens. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, what do we say the body is? What is the body? It's not his body sitting up there on the throne. It's this church body. It's the body of Christ that we're doing. You know, you do something wrong, you're doing it against the body. Amen? Excuse me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. In other words, stop. We're going to stop here in just a few minutes. Examine yourself. If you have an ought against somebody, the prophet of God said, make it right. Amen? Let your conscience be clear. Because we're taking this in commemoration of somebody dying for us. One man dying for our sins. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. It's pretty serious. That ain't talking about falling asleep. That's talking about dying. Amen. Many are sick, many are weak, and many die because you take this unworthily. Amen. So we need to examine ourselves. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank God. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order. When I come, let's just have a moment of silent prayer. Pray for you, Pastor. Pray for the sins that you've done this week and anything that's going on in your life, just ask God to clear it out. And you know what? That's a good time. Good, clear the slate. Get the slate clean and let's get started. Lord, I ask you to bless and cleanse each one of us, Father. Thank you for our brother Luis, Lord. I pray that you give him a special blessing, Lord, for the things he did for you. I pray as we take this communion, Lord, that it'll rejuvenate us, Lord, and strengthen us for the time. Not so much as human strength, but spiritual strength, Lord, that we can stand the wiles of the devil that's coming against us in this end time. And all that's going on in the world, Lord, may you told us that you would be a shelter now. You'd be a pavilion that we could run into, Lord. Well, today we're running into that pavilion, Lord. We're taking the body and blood, and we're, as a symbol, we're receiving this, Lord, that'll make us better people. That'll make us better Christians, Father, in this world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this bread. And I pray, Lord, that you would sanctify it, Lord, that it will nourish our bodies. And that we'll remember that it was you, Father, that hung on Calvary, Lord, to release your life, Lord, that you could come back into us, Lord, as believers. Father, forgive us of our sins and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as many times, every time this happens, and even when Brother Dale would do it, I could remember back when we were in the Baptist church where they would just take some old wafer that somebody bought, and probably at that time it wasn't made in China, no offense, but it probably was not made with holy hands. This needs to be made with holy hands. This is not something we do that we buy grape juice and buy a piece of bread. No, Sister Lisa makes the bread made by holy hands. Brother Dale makes the wine. Also made by holy hands. So I believe we're doing, you know, if you'll do the right thing, it'll come back to you. The wrong thing too. But if we do the thing right and do it right and get started right, I've never had to ask forgiveness for something I did right. Right? Man, you just think about that. Yep. You just ask forgiveness of things you did wrong. But if we start doing things right, maybe this adoption thing will not be so hard. Do what we need to do. Further the gospel. Make each one of us. And as we take this bread, we'll remember. Remember that night when he was in that upper room. He knew he was going to die that next day. So let's start today by dying out to him. Die out to the Lord. Let the Lord do the work for us. But like Luis was preaching, we got to meet him. He's got to come here. You got to make an effort, but he'll come to your effort. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wine, Lord. It has been made by grapes, Lord, and made by holy hands, and it's been run through a process, Lord, with it'll ferment, Father, and it comes to a place that it'll not even sour for years and years to come if it's held in the right place. Father, we know that's a symbol of your word, Father, that your word will never return void. It will accomplish exactly what it said it would. It'll never become old and moldy and stale, Father, but Lord, I pray that we put today this new wine into new glasses, into new bottles. And Lord, it will show the world that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time that we've had, Lord, and this opportunity that we can do this, Lord. Sanctify your people in this journey in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary. Keep your eyes on him. And it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath, when this is all over, we'll get to rest and take communion and commune with each other for an eternity. This is just a little bit, folks, just a little bit of what we're going to have for an eternity. I know we're creatures of time, but we are eternal people. We have an eternal purpose. Amen. I don't want us to see that. Everything we do, taking communion, foot washing, when we have time of prayer, time of fellowship, when we have Bible study, revere that time. Take that time, because I know there's different things we do during the week that takes up our time of other things. But let's just take that little time. And even like now, could you imagine being in an upper room and those 12 didn't know what was going to happen. They really didn't understand. But buddy, I'll promise you, on the day of Pentecost, they understood what was going on, what Jesus had told them and talked to them for 3.5 years. It all came to that moment to where Peter says, this is that the prophet spoke of, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And you'll understand what's going on. We'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We're going to tell the story of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We're just getting enough. Just enough to get us started. And then we're going to get out of here, and then we'll have an eternity. You know, right now we're time. Brother John, tomorrow we got to go to work. Tomorrow we got to do this. Tomorrow we got to do that. It won't be a tomorrow then. It won't be a tomorrow. It'll be unending joy. But this is just a part of it. He said, do this until I come. Let's take communion. Thank you, Lord. Father, taking up the cups, let's read. If you want to follow with me, John 13, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. I want you to listen to this real close. And supper being ended, the devil having been put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and he went to God. He rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said, what I do thou knowest not now. In other words, you don't have the new birth. You're not going to understand what I'm doing, but you're going to understand in just a few days after this what's going on. But thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Listen to what Jesus said. He didn't say, well, that's okay, Peter. You can get by with it. He said, Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Boy, that struck Peter right in the heart. Because Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He said, you're going to do this or you're not going to be of me. So Simon Peter said, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. He was just washed me all over. Jesus said, now he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. We know that Judas was still there. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after they had washed their feet and washed it, taken the garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Now that's a question mark. Know ye what I've done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, in other words, if God can wash your feet, you ought to be able to wash each other's feet. That's what he's saying. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. We appreciate the time that we have with Brother Luis, Lord, bringing the part of the mission trip, Lord, that I believe he gave his heart and soul to, and his children to, Lord, and his wife, Lord. They gave a time out of their life. And Lord, I pray that you'll rejuvenate them, Lord, and strengthen them and give back, Lord, fruit for their labor. And I pray, Lord, that you be with us, Lord, in continuation of this service. As we go and wash feet, Lord, we pray that you would sanctify us, Lord. Keep us, Father. The devil would want to destroy us. But, Lord, you said, where I am, there you will be also. And, Father, we know you're here. You're not coming. There's not a day that you're going to split the clouds and come down. Yeah, there may be a day for that, but that will be for the world to see in judgment. But Lord, you're coming after your bride, and no one's going to know about it except the bride. Father, we thank you for that. Keep us under that umbrella, Lord. Keep us under that veil that you've given us, that pavilion that we can run into, Father, that we can seek shelter from whatever we've got, diseases and all these viruses and all the things of the world. Lord, we pray that you'd keep us from that. Keep us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, Lord. Bless our pastor and keep him strong, Father. Bless each one, the deacons and the elders, all the ones that have something to do with this church. We pray that, Lord, we'll bind together closer to you, Lord, and not let any wedge come between anything, Lord, in between us all, Lord, that we'll bind close together till it be like those stones that fit in the statue over it to in Egypt, Lord, the pyramid where the prophet of God said there can't even a razor's edge go between those stones. Lord, may we fit tight together like that. Keep us together in you, Father, until we meet back together on Wednesday night. Brother Luis will be with us again. Be with Brother Bob and bless him on the way home, Lord, and preaching there for Brother Paget. We pray that you just take care of each one. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Your sisters may retire to downstairs. Be real reverent. Remember, no talking or laughing. If you need to talk, go outside until we're finished with our, this is a solemn time, a time of communion and foot washing.